Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Ryan McDonough, final hour, talking NBA. Ken Barkley's overnights in the final hour. JJ Watt to the Arizona Cardinals. What does that mean for NFL betting next season in the futures market? We will discuss next hour, the Power Hour. Picks for tonight's action. Can't wait for that. Can't wait to bet on tonight's college basketball slate. You know, we always love to put down an NBA bet or two.
Or three.
Or 11.
Four. Or 17.
Hum diddly day, the entire card. But the next 2 seconds of the show here, Ken, it's like, you know, the book Treasure Island, right? You find a treasure map and hopefully it directs you to the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, whatever other hackneyed, you know, analogy you want to use for something.
Hackneyed. We got to get you on
hackneyed better. Like, I want to mispronounce it. Like, I know it's hackneyed.
Sounds like a chemical they put in certain, you know, cleaners or something.
Hackneyed.
It's like cough syrup. What does it have in it? Well, it's got hackneyed in it. Prevents you from coughing up a lung.
What prevents you from winning college basketball bet. So in any event, Ken has got the roadmap here. At least we think it's going to be a good one, at least, that can help direct us towards who's going to win this year's NCAA tournament. Ken, as this is wont, has scraped, I'm sure. I love to use words that, like, I have no idea what they mean.
But you love scrape, too. You love scrape.
That's the first time I've ever actually, I think, used the word scraped, although I do love it. And I think that I'm using it in the proper context here. Ken has scraped the historical data to try and find profiles of teams that fit as potential NCAA tournament champions. So, Ken, why don't you kind of set the table for the meal that we're about to eat here over the next 2 segments?
Next 2 weeks, right? I mean, this is one of the things we're so excited about. You know, the tournament itself, watching the tournament's incredible, one of the great sporting experiences, but the buildup to it that week before the first games, when we have all the point spreads and, you know, I can actually kind of simulate what's going to happen or offer some thoughts on what's going to happen. You fill out your brackets. Like, that's the best. And that's what hopefully these segments are going to help with, you know, over the next, whatever, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Like, you know, we're going to try to talk about as many things as possible. The most important part of this is that there are no absolutes. I wish we could do a segment where Nick could honestly, coming back from break, be like, we're going to tell you exactly who is going to win right now.
Yeah. Do you know what we would do? I would call my agent and be like, hey, like, get me out of my contract. Then I would, like, disappear somewhere, place a million bets, and then retire on a private island if that were the case. We would not give you, the listener, we would not give you that information if we had it.
If it really was a treasure map that led you to certain gold, then we would obviously hold back that information. But that's not what it is. And in our text change today, I use the word compass a lot, and I think that's a good, you know, kind of a, you know, word to use with this stuff. Directionally, we're going to try to point you toward valuable bets and maybe away from bets that are not valuable or teams that we think are not very valuable for very specific reasons that are rooted in history. And today's exercise, we're going to have a bunch of them, you know, later in this week and next week, we can do like teams that are most likely to get upset in the first couple rounds, teams that are most likely to do the upsetting in the first couple rounds, and what history tells us about what teams those might be, Final Four and all that kind of stuff. But we'll start with the treetop. We'll start with the end of the road, the pinnacle, which is like kind of who can win the title. The best place to start.
That was hackneyed. That was very hackneyed, that whole explanation.
That was hackneyed.
The treetop, the top of the mountain, the end of the rainbow.
It's the end of the rainbow, the pot of gold at the end. Right, exactly. We'll do the champion stuff. Yeah, maybe it was a little hackneyed. We'll see.
Now you're
is to do the chat. Well, I'm just following your lead because I think it's hilarious that this has somehow become a word that now is being uttered into existence somehow out of nowhere. For champion, I think the two places to start. We are, as we head toward the tournament, we are going to increase in the amount of BS that you're going to hear in a lot of media outlets and consume about why teams can and can't win the NCAA tournament this year. Like, you know, people have to get on TV. They have to have takes. They have to have strong cases about teams away from some towards the others. They're going to say certain things, and two things we can just immediately diffuse that are not things and that you might hear, honestly. One thing that's going to happen is teams are going to win their conference tournament. And as a result of winning their conference tournament, or as the result of an elite team losing their conference tournament and like the semifinals are getting eliminated in the first round, a narrative will develop, right? This team's catching fire at the right time. They're hot. They're going to be so good in the tournament. Like, look at all the momentum that they've carried over. And on the flip side, let's say, you know, Gonzaga loses before the final of the WCC, although that seems extremely unlikely. Let's say, you know, Michigan doesn't reach the Big Ten final, which is actually pretty likely. They're out of gas. They don't have it. Like, they're not going to win. There's no correlation historically whatsoever between winning your conference tournament and making it far or winning the NCAA tournament. Doesn't exist, has never existed, probably will never exist because they're two entirely different things. There's actually no reason why one should really relate to the other. None of it makes any sense. Conference tournament, you're playing every day in the same arena, day after day after day after day. It's like a, you know, it's actually like running a marathon, whereas the NCAA tournament kind of like is spaced out pretty well, to be honest. You're not really tired. You don't play every day. Conference tournament behaves totally differently. So the first thing is, if somebody tries to tell you that it matters, hey, don't bet on this team because they didn't win their conference tournament. Bet on this team because they're hot, because they did. Please don't listen to that person.
I want to take this to the next level here. And it just goes to like the BS that like all these people who haven't watched college basketball all year that all of a sudden have to give takes. Like, you could take let's say Gonzaga loses to St. Mary's, right, in the semifinals of the West Coast tournament. Someone could come on and say, well, it's actually good that Gonzaga lost. So like
the reverse take. Yeah, I love it.
Just,
yeah.
Now they got the loss at, now they know what it feels like to lose, and as a result they'll be motivated to not feel that again. So it's just like, sure, the takes can get spun in any, here's all you need to know selfishly, because we're on the show here, you know that we watch because we talk about it every single day. There are a lot of people out there. It's going to be easy if you have half a brain, you the listener and the viewer, right, to be able to discern this person, right, hasn't watched 1 second of college basketball all year, and they're sitting here telling you, well, actually, it's good that Gonzaga lost, or maybe it's not, and they have no idea. That's why we have people like Ken Barkley here to kind of lead you the way, the compass, if you will, towards hopefully the all the hackneyed things we talked about.
And your point is especially true with college basketball, having worked at ESPN for a really long time. I mean, there are shows, we all can kind of think of some probably, that maybe don't do a ton of college basketball during the season and then are obligated to because it's the thing everyone wants to hear from when we get to March. So, yeah, I mean, we're just inventing stuff out of nowhere at that point. You know, like, if First Take does a Final Four discussion, what do you think that's going to be? I mean, and these are people, by the way, who are professional argument makers. So they're going to make it sound really good. They're going to make it sound awesome. But anyway, the first point is just the conference tournament thing, because that'll come up. Because
Mark Few's never won a national championship, can't win one, would never bet Gonzaga.
I still can't believe Carolina beat them in that game too. Like, they were, I still think they were way better than Carolina and they lost that game.
But Chris Webber called timeout and Juwan Howard was on the team. Juwan Howard came in and won.
Doesn't have the clutch gene. I've seen it happen. So just, you know, what I try to do with these things is just like, no, I'm telling you, like, five of the last six champions, first of all, didn't win their conference tournament, which seems to make no sense because you think those would be the best teams, the one that would win their conference tournament all the time. Historically, there's no rhyme or reason. There's no correlation. You can run it between win your conference tournament, go deep in the NCAA. They're not related whatsoever. So that's thing number one. Thing number two to kind of dispense with, and again, people, professional take makers will maybe gravitate toward this stuff. A team like Gonzaga that plays really fast. Oh, well, when the tournament slows down and you have to play in the half court, then we'll see what's going to happen in the tournament.
The NBA playoffs. I mean, like, right?
or vice versa, like a team that plays really slow, that like can't score enough or whatever. Tempo, which is basically the measurement of how many possessions there are in your games, how fast the games go when you play in them. That's also, like, you know, you think of teams with really high totals. Those teams play at a really fast tempo. Usually maybe they don't play any defense too. Tempo has no correlation to who wins the title. Also, we've had really fast teams win the NCAA title, 2009 North Carolina, which had about 17 NBA players on it. They dump trucked Michigan State in the title game. They were basically the fastest team that's like ever won it. And the other North Carolina team in 05 when I was in college with Felton and May and McCants, they were like equally as fast. We've had Virginia won a national title. Like, I think fast teams and slow teams both can win the national title. So don't pay attention. Like, people try to tell you there's like the pace in this game is so interesting, the tempo, because this team does this team. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Sorry. Matters maybe if you want to bet the total in the game. Doesn't matter at all. So we'll start with the two things that don't matter, and now let's move on to the things that do matter.
Are you excited? Go ahead.
I am.
Not for what I was going to say. I was going, are you excited for some like take show to open up and saying, why didn't Juwan Howard stop Chris Webber from calling timeout?
Of course. I mean, just like we all know what this stuff is. And it just the more we can equip our listeners to kind of be able to just block out a lot of this stuff, or at least use scrutiny to understand, okay, well, that actually makes a lot of sense. That's a really good point. Well, that doesn't make sense because I actually am able to think about this critically. The more we can arm people to do that, like we're only on for 4 hours a day, as weird as that sounds. So that's, we only have so much time to kind of debunk that stuff. Those are two things that don't matter at all. So let's put together the profile for what a champion would look like. You can use any, there's a lot of publicly available ratings and efficiencies and all this stuff that you can use. The one that the most people know about and respect is KenPom. So I'd like to use that for this exercise, just because if I say like, oh, I'm using, Jimmy Jones's NCAA efficiencies, people are going to be like, click. Like, I don't even know what that is. This guy's stupid. If I say KenPom, it's like we all know kind of what we're talking about. So even though this could be a lot of different things, this is not a totally precise situation. We're going to use KenPom for this. What do we know about champions previously? We know that for the most part, they were awesome during the year. That is not a surprise. We can immediately move past that. What do we also know about them? We kind of know about how good offensively and defensively they have to be over the course of a regular season. And you don't really get surprises as much as you even kind of think you do. Even the teams that you think of as like, well, they weren't like that good, like they're still actually kind of within some parameters that make a lot of sense. 2014 UConn is like the team that breaks everything, basically. I mean, it's like literally the team that like we thought this
seven versus an eight, right? That was UConn was a seven, and they played Kentucky, who was an eight in the title game.
And I'm glad they exist as a data point, because they just prove like, yeah, sometimes crazy things happen. That's why this isn't really the treasure map. Like, this isn't like, if you do this, you're always going to win, because sometimes 2014 UConn happens. I mean, they were a team that literally entering the NCAA tournament, they were 87th in the country in offensive efficiency, not adjusted for conference, but like just literally how many points per 100 possessions they score. They were 87th. That's by light years the worst offense that's ever won a national title.
Got taken to overtime in their first game. Could have lost to St. Joe's in the first game.
Right. So they think about all the things that had to happen for them to win. Think about the first game. Think about the opponent that they drew in the final. Like, I mean, just the idea that Kentucky and them coincide. Like, great. But like, that's the random. That's part of the reason why we all love the tournament. It means that all things are possible. That means that all things are possible, which is kind of what we're trying to say. Now, if we're trying to narrow the window, what I've created basically is using every champion since 2000, but removing 2014 UConn as like the crazy outlier. If you use UConn as like the parameter, every team can win the title. And I'm telling you that could happen, but that also means like, we don't really, okay, who do we focus on? Who do I bet on? What do I do? Okay, I understand any team could win, but 99% of the time, who wins? And maybe we can create a list of teams that works like that. So if there's a list of teams, it's like 20, 25, if you use the UConn parameters for how good offensively and defensively a team should be. And that's cool. Like, that's a list we can keep. We can whittle it down as we go. But for like every other champion, who should we kind of be paying attention to? So if you use KenPom's entering the tournament offensive and defensive efficiencies, again, these are very similar. If you use other sites, other things, you end up with an identical list, to be perfectly honest. It's just framed a little differently. You know, the list of teams that, quote, I would call this the list of team that makes sense to win the national title right now, kind of involves, and we can do the guessing game after the break where we get, because I want the viewer to think about who would they have on this list. Basically, the list is nine teams. I think it's eight teams. I kicked one out for a funny reason, which we can go over. There are nine teams that fit that profile right now, offensively, defensively, with past champions. If they won the title, it would make a ton of sense. It would like, it wouldn't bat an eye. And there are a lot of teams not on this list, to be honest, that a lot of people are talking about that they think can win the title. And I think it's interesting to go over some of the reasons why that's the case too. So I think that's something we can spend next segment going over.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it here. And like, we'll all kind of guess, and maybe we can all pick a team that's like not in the nine teams that can, or the eight, the Elite Eight. Never heard that before. The Elite Eight.
Right.
The
team that Ken has come up with. Original. It's an original.
You know what we're calling these eight teams? You know what we're going to call them? The Elite Eight.
Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, there's the Elite Eight. I actually, when I was a really little kid, I thought it was called the Great Eight. That's what I thought that round was called. When I was like 7, 8 years old, the first tournament I ever watched, I was like, it's like the Great Eight, right? And they're
sounds like
Elite
a carny act.
Right. And I'm like, they're like the Elite Eight. And I'm like, what?
It's like now following the bearded lady and the guy that puts the sword down his throat. It's the Great Eight.
Yes. Right.
At the like carnival.
A Tarantino movie. Right. Exactly.
What's that? Hateful Eight. Anyway. All right. So you're probably wondering right now, who are these eight teams that Ken has identified as the teams most likely to win the national championship? I got good news for you. You're going to find out right after this on the BetQL Audio Network.